The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled, see?
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you today. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water, here live from the Berkshires over at Pittsfield Community Radio 89.7 WTBR-FM. Pittsfield Community Radio 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And we're going to have a great show today.
The food.
Conversation for regeneration, rebirth.
Thirsty.
With a really great friend of show, Bram Gartner. He's going to be with us the second half of the show, discussing regenerative agriculture, regenerating all life on Earth. Great show today. Super psyched about it. We're going to have some really great tunes, some poetry, some news. So stay tuned. Share us with all your friends. We're all around the internet. So check out our podcast, And So It Flows, on your favorite podcast platform. We're going to start the show with a really tight song by one of the better musical bands of the rock and roll era. And this is from Heart. This is Barracuda. Yeah, it's a fish, guys. It's a fish.
I had to turn my heart around. won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water. Some people know me by my given name, Leslie Gabriel. And it's all about the blue. And it's all about you because, kind of like water, water is actually like people. And it's like everything else as well. So see if you could find that connection. Share this show with all your friends, And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Check out our Spotify playlist of water songs, of which you heard two. First up for today, we had by heart Barracuda. And Barracuda, well, not a specific water song, so don't get too literal. A fish, a barracuda, lives where? In the water. Yes, they do. They swim in the water. This particular fish is a little meaner than most. That's why it's a barracuda. And then we had Alanis Morissette with Ironic from her Jagged Little Pill album. Isn't it ironic? Just look at the entire irony of the last few years. where things get flipped upside down, left, right, and center. So our job is to stay centered on the thing that keeps us centered, and that's water. Got some water news coming your way just now, about second half of the show. You want to listen up. We're going to have a conversation for regenerative agriculture, regenerative living, with a special friend of show, Bram Gartner. And he's an educator as well as a practitioner of some of the best regenerative farming in the region, regenerative agriculture, and regeneration of nature itself. He'll be with us second half of the show, so stay tuned for that. And then we have a little bit of news, and this comes from a website called The Daily Climate. An Arizona ranch revives soil and saves water through indigenous-rooted regenerative farming. In the face of worsening drought and depleted soils, a southern Arizona ranch is betting the farm on regenerative agriculture to create a viable low-water future for farming in the Southwest. In short, Oatman Flats Ranch became a Southwest first regenerative organic certified farm in 2021 using heritage crops, cover crops, soil-friendly techniques to restore degraded desert farmland. The ranch's practices have doubled organic matter in the soil and saved over a billion gallons of water in 5 years by replacing conventional methods with flood-free irrigation, rotational grazing, and reduced tillage. Drawing on indigenous farming knowledge, Oatman Flats grows native and heirloom crops like mesquite, white Sonora wheat, also while serving as a learning site for other farmers exploring regenerative practices. And if we could do it here, we could do it anywhere. And why does this matter? Much of the U.S. Southwest faces a collision of climate extremes and outdated agriculture models. Is that the stuff that sprays pesticides like Roundup everywhere? The answer to that is yes, that is outdated and going out of style. Farms continue to grow thirsty crops like alfalfa and cotton, even as rivers like the Gila run dry and aquifers disappear. Oatman Flats Ranch offers a case study in doing things differently by leaning into regenerative organic farming rooted in indigenous practices and local ecological conditions. The ranch shows how to farm with less water and without synthetic chemicals. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. And we have this, let's see if I could find that poem. Let's see if we could find that poem. It's called Renewal, and it's a poem about renewal by someone by the name of Venue. Renewal. A shadow walks with life. Silence between nodes. Music audiences hear. Transforming a phase in hydrologic cycle to ice, water, and vapor adjust to surroundings. Last forever, a tenure beyond mortal states of space and time through life vulnerabilities. And that was by Venue Hydrologist. And that is quite a cool little poem. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We got Michael Jackson up next with Earth Song. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, and love your water.
Thank you. sitting singing songs for everyone. Sit beside a mountain stream, see her waters rise. Listen to the pretty sound of music as she
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. You were just listening to the Beatles singing their song Mother Nature's Son. And I'll be talking with Mother Nature's Son in just a second, and you'll be listening to what he has to say about regenerative agriculture and regenerating life. And before that, Mother Nature's Son, we had a tune called Earth Song by the one and only Michael Jackson. And everybody likes Mikey. Super excited in studio here on And So It Flows. We've got a friend of show by the name of Brahm Gardner. Hi, Brahm. Hold on 1 second. Let's get your mic on. Hey, Brahm, how are you?
Hey, Leslie. Hey, everybody. I'm good. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome because, you know, water and regeneration go together. You know, a lot of people look at water as a way to purify, you know, get some aliveness going on, feel good, feel centered. And you're doing that in a whole different arena.
Absolutely. Yeah. Water is life. And so I work with plants. I work with young people. I work with bringing people together around this concept of connecting to the land, connecting with each other, and connecting with ourselves through learning from nature and studying nature and interacting with nature and bringing wherever we are, whether it be in a city landscape or in a more rural setting, an awareness to the fact that we are not just isolated beings floating around doing our day-to-day. Wherever we are, there is land. And, you know, I spend the winters in different places like Brazil or Australia or New Zealand. And one thing kind of coming back from New Zealand was this deep philosophy of the Maori people that we will not heal as a person or as a people until we heal our connection with the land around us and we heal the land around us. And I think that's something that we forget about living in the city to even acknowledge that there is land around us. If there is like a small patch with a tree or something, we don't generally spend too much time even trying to acknowledge or notice it.
Yeah.
But the fact that we feel this disconnection and we notice this kind of lack of thriving in general as we look at our civilization, it bears in mind remembering that we don't have to be farmers to benefit from connecting with nature. We don't have to be dedicating our lives to growing trees or vegetables to realize the benefits of taking a walk in nature, of having houseplants, of acknowledging the physical landscape of the world around us.
Yeah, and connecting with it and making the time. Making the time. You know, there's this, like, I'm guilty of this just like anyone. I was driving around today in northwestern Connecticut, and I'm like, I'm passing this extraordinary river, and I'm like, the next place I'm going to take 5 minutes. Did I do it? No, I didn't do it. I'm going to just shit. You know, it's like I have to be somewhere. And it's not only in the suburbs or the city, you know, where people, you know, you can get disconnected just simply by not stopping or be completely surrounded by nature, more bugs on your windowsill than you know what to do with. And you're still like, won't go outside and just listen. Right now I live on a marsh, one of the most beautiful marshes in our region. And it's some of the cleanest air and the water, and you hear the birds, and it's so amazing. You go out there and ground and get grounded, just take your shoes off or lie down and touch the earth and feel the stress just be released. Brahm, I've known you for a couple of years now. What would you call your title, or not even a title? What is it that you are professing? Is it regenerative farming? Is it ecological agriculture? Like, what is it that you want to be known as or for?
Yeah, great question. Maybe I can just spend a minute giving people a little bit of my background, how I came to this work, and what the work actually is, you know, because sometimes the language can actually be a barrier, can actually get in the way.
Sure.
I started this in 2016, volunteering around Europe, around Northern Africa, England, on a variety of different permaculture places. Permaculture is a combination of two words, permanent agriculture and really permanent culture. Now, the idea is nothing is permanent, but how do we do things in a way that they are healthy and thriving through time so they're not getting stuck? That's the basic idea. And why focus on food? Food is a starting place. It's not that we want to focus all of our attention there. I think people maybe out there listening are thinking, maybe they're not growing food, so what does this have to do with them? It's about, if you feel any aspects of stuckness in your life, if you feel any aspects of a mechanical nature kind of coming in where your days are kind of rote and programmed, then this message is for you. It's about coming back to life. It's about living in a way that is thriving, that you're excited about the new day.
Yeah, I mean, just what you're saying, okay, the thriving aspect of thriving.
Mm.
There's almost a part of our humanity, I wouldn't call it the nice part, but there's the part of humanity that it's almost hard to see someone else thriving because there's a sense that they're taking something more than you want. Like, so the thriving aspect of it, this is my perspective, not as if I'm committed to people thriving. And what's that look like? And there's another part of us that says, I can't be with you thriving. Just look at what's going on in Israel and Gaza right now. It's like, is it okay for your neighbors to thrive? And obviously there are some issues around our humanity and our willingness to have people thrive. I'm not talking just about that, but there are multitudes of, like, dozens of times in the last century where it was shown through the actions that different human beings took that they weren't okay with their neighbors thriving. There have been dozens of genocides in the last 100 years. So I wouldn't call it just a Middle East thing. I would call it a human thing. So the thriving part, like, what's that like when you can be... What was that like for you when you first were really looking into the whole aspect of thriving?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think maybe I'll kind of just touch on what you were just saying and then give my kind of answer from my own life. Maybe in those kind of examples where people or groups of people notice what they label as thriving and have like an aversion to it when they see it in someone else or in some other people, maybe it's a deeper and unconscious recognition that they themselves are not thriving. And so it's that out of that pain of not having, there's this aversion that creeps in. But I think for myself, if we just kind of look in the United States context, we have amassed so much wealth and it's not equally distributed, but we have more material comforts. I was just talking to someone today about how they were raising money for, you know, women in Africa who need to walk 6 kilometers a day for water. Getting back to our theme. You know, I had a geography teacher used to say, if you have clean running water in your house, you have a level of wealth that's so far beyond so many people in this world. How can you not go out throughout the rest of your day with gratitude? If you have a mattress to sleep on and you're not sleeping on concrete on the ground, how can we not go through our days with gratitude? Well, we lose sight of these things. It's very, very easy to lose sight of them. And we do not realize the extent to which we've lost some things that do exist in places where even these things are not there, but community is present. We don't really, in general, have the same notion of what community looks like. As I was living in Morocco in a small town outside of Marrakesh, and people knew everyone's name. People were laughing with each other, people they didn't even know. There was this a general sense of oneness and community and laughing and celebrating. And for myself, I realized, all right, in this context of the United States, you know, there's things we are not doing well, that it doesn't matter how much money we put on things, how much progress and comfort and convenience come in, thriving is not there to the degree that people are feeling they need to be on antidepressants or this substance or that to just get by.
Yep.
And we don't really have the cultural lens to step back even and to say, wait a minute, what's going on? It's almost like we've taken this for granted, that this is the best model out there and it's not good enough, so life's not good enough. So we've made the limits of our perspective so small.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
It's important to question the groundwork that we're basing everything off of. You know, what do we even understand by community in this culture, you know? And what does it look like other places? So I spent 14 years now living in other countries, learning their languages, learning their ways of world making. It's just how we language things. You know, in English, we are spending time together right now. Like time were a commodity, and at the end, we are more impoverished. We spent our time. Well, in Spanish, compartimos tiempo. We are sharing time. It's a very different way to look at what we're doing, how we are living. Life, fundamentally, we can break down to time and energy. So how we understand that will really influence our experience and the quality of it, whether that's more towards thriving or less towards thriving.
That's great. This is some deep talk, deep water talk, some of it deep thriving talk. For those of you just tuning in, this is And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. We're here at Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR in Lee, having a conversation with the thriving maestro, person who, I mean, permaculture, a practitioner, educator. Now, thriving, what? Let's say thriving. In your mind, what does a thriving community look like? And then we're going to jump into some of the agricultural aspects of that. But what does a thriving, what do you think? First, let's back it up. Like, English, thriving. What do you mean by that? Why don't we kind of parse that a
great question.
Bit.
Yeah, and I'll circle back and nestle it kind of back in the context of permaculture and just say for 2 seconds, what is permaculture? Basically, permaculture is an ethical design system based on the principles of nature. So what do we mean by ethics? In permaculture, there are three ethics. One is people care, that in whatever context you are, that you are being in relation with the people around you in a right way, in a correct way, in a way that's just and fair and equitable. The second ethic, so that's people care. The second ethic is earth care, that how you are living is in right relation with the earth. The practices that you're going by are not harmful to the land around you, but they're helpful and harmonious. And the third ethic is fair share, that in whatever exchanges we are doing in our life, however we're living in community, in connection, that it's fair, that if we're asking for something, we're offering something, that we are a human being that is inviting people into mutually beneficial actions and operations and invitations.
That's beautiful.
And so when we look at this question of thriving, we look at the plants, so designing in a way that is balanced and harmonious in nature. If you just go into the forest, there are not just one or a row of tomatoes going in. You will never find that. You know, you will have tall trees and small shrubs, and you'll have ground cover, and you'll have berry bushes, and you'll have a wide variety of different types of plants all together.
Like a community of life.
Yeah, and they help each other.
And food.
Yeah, that's right. And from the mycelial network, which mushrooms are the fruiting body of what's sometimes called a wood wide web. There's a network of these root systems that go all through the forest that interact with the trees. They're from the fungal kingdom, and they share nutrients with the trees. The trees share nutrients with them. Everything is connected in nature. And so that is kind of a picture of thriving. You know, and when we look to the human community, it's that same thing, that we are all giving our gifts and receiving the gifts of others. So it's inviting all of us into being seen, heard, valued, and respected mutually wherever we are and whatever we're doing.
That's amazing. And I want to speak to that because, you know, as if you were a mushroom, if you were a tree, if I was one of those, I can't speak to how they see the world. What I can say as a human being, there is the constant inner jihad of dealing with, I feel separate and alone, and I feel connected. And things that make a difference in that is nature. When you're in nature, that tends to dissipate in a very short period of time. You can actually get to a place of peace and connectedness. And that is a thriving. I think that that may be an impediment to thriving. The actual, I would call it a trance of being disconnected. Like, we go as if we are disconnected, and in the meantime, we are connected.
Yeah, I love the way you say that of, you know, I feel such and such a way, not this is the truth. Because the truth is, wherever you are touching some kind of ground, some kind of concrete came out of the earth, you know, all this. We are literally grounded. We have just forgotten. So what is it that's making us feel disconnected? I would say it's our mind, right? And I think a big part of the shift that would be helpful to make is thinking about or understanding how much of the time are we living in our mind? How much are we living more in like a heart center space where we really are connected, you know? Any kind of examples we use of feeling isolated, islands are not disconnected. They are connected to the earth underneath the water. Again, water.
Yeah, yeah.
The connection is there. We are connected. That is the truth. We feel disconnected. That's our mind's story. And we live in a civilization that glorifies the mind. And we have all this wonderful technology around us that is a wonderful tool, but we can get so lost in it. And so finding ways to come back into our hearts, finding ways to get centered back into, oh, I can slow down a minute. I can remember to breathe a minute. I can remember that I am not just disconnected. This is essential. And when we have small garden patches, when we have, look, if a potato or an onion is sprouting in your kitchen, you do not need to throw it away. You can pop it on a windowsill in a little yogurt container of dirt, and it'll be a houseplant for you. And it'll be a reminder to you that life wants to thrive. A plant is essentially a piece of life that says yes to life 100%, you know? Sometimes we vacillate, you know, in our energy, how much of it is going towards life. But plants never vacillate, you know? You That's can cut beautiful. Mint back 1,000 times. It's going to grow back stronger than ever. And as human beings, we can take our inspiration from anything. If we take it from civilization in the news, depression is natural. If we take it from nature, thriving is natural. This is what, you know, if you go out into any forest and you look around and you ask yourself, in this tree line around me, where are the great problems of the world? They're not there.
Nope.
They're not there.
They're not by the beach either.
That's right. If you look at the ocean,
sounds of the water. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your super waterman, ambassador for water. I'm having a conversation with friend of show Bram Gartner, permaculture practitioner, educator, and deep thinker. And we're having a conversation about thriving, permaculture, and some water. So let's go down. We got about 4 or 5 minutes. So let's bear in on some of the educational stuff. You're bringing in a new person to work with you, either in the fields or in a food forest. When do you know that they're starting to get that thriving space, that permaculture space? What do you see? Is there something that you see?
Yeah, definitely. So the beauty of this work is you can start exactly where you are. One of the key permaculture principles is observation and interaction. So the whole point of this is you don't have to read 1,000 books and wait until you can just get it just right and then start planting. You start with where you are. You know, if you have a small patch of lawn, you can put down cardboard and wood chips, and that's going to start to break down the grass. You know, all this lawns that we have can turn into gardens. It's as easy as laying down cardboard and wood chips. That will break down, and as the grass breaks down, it enriches the soil. The fastest way to build soil is through organic matter, chopping and dropping whatever plants are there. You know, I spent a long time in Brazil, Brazil, you know, they don't have a lot of money for infrastructure and they don't need it, but they've observed in nature, whatever state your land is in, if you just are cutting the plants that are there and laying them down on the surface, they will break down and increase the fertility and the nutrients level in that soil. And just that act alone of whatever plants are there, cutting it and laying it down and letting it break down, will regenerate the soil. It's as simple as that. It's really, really...
It's like food. Food is the medicine for the soil. Or plants are the food and a medicine for the soil.
That's right. And any kitchen scraps, as far as the vegetable scraps and the fruit scraps, eggshells are rich in calcium that will add that to the soil. Coffee grounds are rich in nitrogen. That'll add that to the soil. When I have people out, I lead them through observation and interaction. And it's a process of being with that person as they are learning these things and seeing things and pointing out to them. And it's giving someone a space of being seen, heard, valued, and respected, which is where the real healing comes in. But exactly. Anyone can start this process.
Once, like what I experience is, you know, when I get someone, when I just get them without adding, then they have an opportunity to like thrive.
Yeah.
Like my listening of them, same with me. When I feel like someone's actually, when they ask me the time of day that they're actually going to listen for the answer, or how am I doing, and they'll listen for the answer, that's when I start to know that, oh, wow, they're like when there's a listening there for the thriving. So let's say you're with a student coming to you. Is there a point, like what is that moment where you start to see that they're going into the thriving space?
Yeah. So it's, you know, sharing simple principles. There are loads of plants that you can cut off about 12 inches of them, stick them right in the ground like willow or blackcurrant, and they can become an entire plant just from a little cutting, you know? And so when you share with people that it's very simple to take a little patch of lawn under their windows or wherever and study the plants around them, and then just by simply cutting different things, putting potatoes in the ground, you will get things to come to life, you know? Wow. And it's when the light bulb kind of goes off of, oh, I could do this. A raised bed could be as simple as four little logs, branches set together. I don't even need to connect them. Put some soil in there and I'm good to go. These things are very accessible.
So you don't literally have to spend $1,000 and go get yourself a raised thing that was created somewhere else. You could actually create it about four pieces of wood in a square.
You could literally spend no money if you just kind of go into a little foresty area, collect up four little branches,
exactly.
You know,
yeah,
scoop up some dirt, you're good to go. And you can start and you'll observe and you'll see, and that'll plant the seeds for future growth. But the whole point is losing the fear over, I'm going to make a mistake. And this for anything in life, but especially with gardening, just go out, buy five different seed packets, and every, you know, depending if you've got an 8-foot by 3-foot area, every 6 inches, just drop three mixed seeds and see what comes up.
You know, totally.
Things will grow. Life wants to thrive.
People want to find out more. How do they do it? How do they follow you? Do you have a social media presence, or like how can they hear more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on all the major social media as Eco Agro Brahm. That's ECO space AGRO space BRAHM. And we keep up on Instagram quite frequently. There's a lot on YouTube. And you can also check out our website. We are the Center for Regenerative Ecology, Education, and Enterprise Development. The website is just CREED.info. So Creed with three E's .info. And we've got a lot more information about what we're doing and who we are. I also have a podcast. It's called Listening into the Wilderness. And my co-host and friend Cody Smith and I, we talk about different relevant topical issues that are going on, your feelings of loneliness, situations in this country, from our broader perspective, having lived years in other countries and studied a broad lens of things from philosophy to alchemy to sociology to psychology, and really having an outside of U.S. and inside U.S. perspective on civilization and thriving and the human condition.
That's this age. That's the end of the paradigm that we're all living through is unleashing into a new thriving paradigm. And our job is to allow that baby to come to life and get out the way.
Yeah. So that's Listening Into the Wilderness on YouTube and also on Spotify. And that, we'll be expanding from there.
That's great. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Eco Agro Brahm, Brahm Gartner, thank you so much for joining And So It Flows. It's been a pleasure. And I'll let you know when this baby is up on our podcast platform. And, you know, just thanks for the time that you took to be with And So It Flows.
Yeah, thank you so much, Leslie. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm happy to be here. And I look forward to hearing from anyone who has thoughts and comments. And let's thrive.
Yeah, let's thrive. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We have a little bit of music coming your way. And this is The Fix with Reach the Beach.
Thank you. When traveling from land to sea, you reach the beach. Wet foot in the sand, Trey Moody. When pleasure found is my resource, should I lose my lover's eyes, then destiny will blot this course. Forgotten lies aim to distract me. This mind of mine must not connect. When pure nature will contain me, free falling air I am will suffice. When I'm falling, calling, I'll return. sign. Tears in passion for desperate man. Then should I lose my lover's eyes, then secrecy will hide this course. When I'm falling, calling, I'll return. Falling, calling, crying wolf. Falling, calling, I'll return. Floating closer to your shore. Oh, woe. Reach the beach.
Abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.